glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11:28. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. It's Holy Week, so Maundy Thursday is coming up, Good Friday, and then thank you, God, for Resurrection Sunday that we get to celebrate this coming Sunday. So if you were tuned in yesterday, you knew I had to have our special guest back, and we just touched on a few of the almost 40 books that he's produced, one of the ones that he talked about on Focus on the Family some time ago that I was just fascinated by is called 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad. And so that got us on some tangent discussions about some fun topics like wake your kid for a lunar eclipse, or how about buying them a unicycle, or learning to laugh over spilled milk. So that program is archived and accessible anytime at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. But I gave a little more of a lengthy introduction yesterday about our author and special guest who is returning today, and I hope to share him with you all in person, maybe come June, July, or August. We're working out a day when he can come and speak to our pastors and ministry leaders, and then at 6 p.m. I'll have them here at the Great News Media Center to share on various topics in the evening, and then we'll have our prayer gathering. But yesterday I commented on some of his accomplishments, but today I just wanted to focus on he's written just about 40 books, as mentioned, the 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad, but also The Prayer of Agar, The Jesus Dare, and What If God Wrote Your Bucket List? He's a longtime partner of Iron Sharpens Iron, and that's where I met him a few weeks ago as he was a presenter, and he had his table stationed right next to me, and we started talking. I saw all of his books and appreciated how he interacted with people and the seminar that he gave, and so we had him in yesterday, and today we're going to continue a conversation. But he also is a part of the National Center for Fathering. He and his wife, Rita, his beloved wife, Rita, have raised 5 children, but he loves these grandchildren that he's cherishing and a part of pouring into their life. So I encourage you to stop by our website and go to the Mark and Friends tab and listen to yesterday's broadcast. But the teaser was, today we're going to talk about the next verse, what you never knew about 60 of your favorite Bible passages. And what's interesting is many of us have our various Bible passages, and if you've listened to Mark and Friends for any period of time, I think for about a full year, we went through 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. So we did devotional readings, we talked about the verses, we commented on it. And so we all know and have our favorite Bible verses. But what's the verse after it? What was the verse before it? Many times we don't even know, and it really sheds great light on what the meaning is or the intent or the context. But Jay, just like about all of us, have various favorite Bible verses. We may have them on a poster, on the refrigerator, a magnet, a bumper sticker, on a post-it note that we look at, on our mirror. Maybe our wife has done a needlepoint. Maybe it's tattooed on us. But these various verses raise very important and compelling questions. Do you know the next verse? So why is that important that we not only have favorite verses and appreciate God's word, but we know the next verse?
Well, Mark, I totally appreciate the idea that you did 100 verses in recent programs because, you know, great stuff. And I encourage you to know that. But again, that question that we're going to challenge people here today is to keep reading. Because the next verse, so often, and I kind of stumbled across this accidentally, was that, oh my goodness, the next verse kind of seems to contradict or certainly clarify. Sometimes it even makes you laugh out loud. Sometimes it makes you go, oh my goodness, I haven't thought of that. And let's go right back to the verse that you opened with today, which is that great verse. That's my one of the chapters in the book I got to explore. It's my sitting in the shade drinking lemonade with Jesus verse. I've just worked, I'm sweating, and he says, come to me all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, certainly we know that it's not just physical work, there's burdens that people have. Okay, but here's the idea. We are just resting with Jesus. Matthew 11:28, and we could just stop there. But what happens if we go ahead and read the next verse? Mm. And you know what? Many of your listeners know the next verse, and I'm going to give them credit for that. But it kind of surprised me when you put it, when you juxtapose it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
What? Wait a second. That's not right. You can't wait. I'm taking a yoke? We know what a yoke is. A yoke is a wooden collar for farm animals to drag behind a plow. I want no part of that.
They're heavy. They're burdensome. Why do I want that on my shoulders?
So let's keep reading here. That's Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. This is Jesus speaking. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, which, by the way, Mark, is more important than rest for your bodies, rest for your souls. And then he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Hmm.
Let's take that apart a little bit here. So what's going to happen? If you are sitting in the shade with Jesus, drinking lemonade, because he invited you to come, come and I'll give you rest. And then he puts a yoke on you. What is that yoke? Well, first off, you got to know that Jesus can carry every possible weight you imagine. He carried all the sins of the world on his shoulders. So if you're yoked with Jesus, he's going to do the heavy lifting. At the same time, he might give you some work to do, which will make you stronger and wiser and understand and give you projects, things that are in your wheelhouse that you can do. And then, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
You're yoked next to Jesus. What a privilege that is, because he's going to be whispering instructions to you, life instructions directly from the Savior of the world. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Man, I want some of that. And you will find rest for your souls. I want some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the yoke he gives to me, my yoke, he says, believe it or not, is easy and my burden is light. So maybe, and here's the big takeaway is, you know what? We should be asking for more burdens from Jesus. Mm. We should be welcoming a yoke. So when you got the lovely lemonade, drinking lemonade verse, come to me all who are weary and I'll give you rest and burden, I'll give you rest. You know what? Keep reading the next verse and it's stunning and uplifting and encouraging and challenging. And that's why I say that's the name of the book.
The next verse.
There you go.
Well, I'm out of my pay grade when it comes to farm animals and oxen and such, but I've heard that when you have this bigger, stronger oxen and a smaller one, really the bigger oxen is the one that's carrying most of the weight because it's still attached to the smaller one, but he's the one carrying it. So I'm thinking of your analogy. Here we have this all-powerful, all-sovereign God, Jesus, next to us, but he's really carrying almost all the burden. Yes, we have the yoke on us, but we're not shouldering it because he's got the bigger shoulders that carries the weight.
I want him on my team.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So, that's a wonderful one. I know in your book you highlight so many other verses, but this is a great concept. Just the fact that, read on. Know the context of the verse because it'll make a big difference.
And I bet you of those 100 verses that you did recently, probably 40 or 50 of them show up here
because
that's what my goal was the book, to take verses that people recognize and go, what is the next verse? And we should probably do a few more.
Okay, so before we go on to, I think we're going to maybe look at Joshua 24:15. These are little teasers to stay listening for the next few minutes. Or John 3:16.
Sure.
You're all familiar with that. Or maybe John 14:6. What led you to write this book? I mean, why the next verse?
Well, thank you. It was kind of this two-part revelation 25 years ago, literally. I got a new Bible, and then, you get a new Bible, and it's fresh and clean, and you almost hesitate to write in it. I recommend writing in your Bible, circling things and underlining them. And I was listening to a preacher, and he read Ephesians 2:8-9, which is probably very familiar. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. Mm-hmm. Underline that, not by works,
huge.
So that no one can boast. That's good stuff, grace. It's not by works. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. Grace saves me, not by works. Okay, golden, right? We're good to go. And then that scoundrel of a preacher went ahead and kept reading the next verse, which is, let me look for you.
is it on your pages? I'm going to open up my Bible now.
Okay, but the next verse is, for we are God's handiwork, which is still okay, created in Christ Jesus, which is good, to do good works. Wait. wait a second. You just said I didn't have to do works, and now I'm created in Jesus to do good works. Which, and worse, God has prepared that ahead of time. God has prepared in advance for us to do. So he's saying, it's grace, not by works. But I've prepared work for you to do. Yeah. What is that? It's kind of seems like a
contradiction. Did I find a contradiction? Yeah.
It seems like a contradiction. Yeah, it's not at all.
Yeah.
If you live in Christ and if you're surrounded by people who know and love Jesus, you totally get this verse. You understand that it's because of the grace. It's because of this gift that we get to do works. We have things that matter and draw others to the kingdom. But what an amazing thing that is. That was my first idea that, wow, that two verses next to each other can seem to contradict, but once you put them together and think about it and pray about it and kick it around, it makes great sense.
And so, what's so wonderful about this second part, which God prepared in advance for us to do, I'm just speaking to the listener, they're like, well, you don't understand, I'm a shut-in, you know, I don't have any value, I can't be the speaker that you are, Jay, or I can't go and travel and do these kind of things. But God has prepared works for them to do. It might be praying, it might just be encouraging a neighbor, it might be writing a letter. God has prepared for all of us future works that we should be looking for, praying up, and, you know, determining to do.
Well, there you go. And that's the point of that verse. And that was the first one I took my new Bible that I just bought, kind of coincidentally, and I wrote in the very back. You open up the back pages of a Bible, and it was clear. There's nothing. And I wrote Ephesians 2:8-10. And then I wrote the words, the next verse. I wrote that 25 years ago. And then I kind of started collecting them. And before I knew it, within a few years, I had the two pages in the back of my book was filled with versions of or references to the next verse. I didn't write out the verse. I just wrote out the citation, the location. And then I realized, well, my first books I wrote were mostly family relationship books. And I love that. Books for dads and on marriage. 52 things that sons need from their dad. I wrote a book recently with my daughter called Girl Dad. In the last maybe 6 or 8 years, 10 years, I've been writing these books just to, you know what, to get your life right. And that's kind of this book. So interesting how I've moved from family relationships, which I still do a lot of speaking on. But this verse here, it was a blast to write, to take 60 verses and find 60 verses that really had interesting next verses. I will confess, a few of them are the previous verse, and a few of them are, you skip down the page a little bit, but the idea of not just context. So people have been talking, and you, Mark, if you sit in a church for a while, the preacher will start talking about taking a verse in context.
Yeah.
But what is so amazing, it so often is a verse and the next verse, which really opens your eyes. So we've talked about two of them now. We talked about Ephesians 2:8-9. We talked about Matthew 11:28-29.
Yeah, and I want to jump to John 3:16, but in case the listener's just tuning in and they're kind of fascinated or they're like, 40 books, how do I find out more? You can stop by jpayleitner.com, and Payleitner is PayLeitner.com, and you can search 52 things kids need from a dad or the next verse or the recent one. He is in the process. It's going to be available soon.
It's coming out in May. The book I wrote with my daughter, what a blast that was.
Latest Girl Dad. So he wrote that with his daughter. So if you can't write down this information now, maybe you're traveling to work, just call the station and we can have it for you. 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or you didn't get to hear it yesterday, stop by greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen to the program anytime. But yeah, John 3:16, so many of our listeners, even those unchurched, have seen it held up at a football game or hockey game or wherever, you know, soccer, golf tournaments, they even hold it up, John 3:16. So most of us are somewhat familiar with that. But what's the next verse that we might need to really think about?
Well, first I got to say that I would never hold up a banner in the end zone of John 3:16. But I totally honor people who do. Because you never know, at halftime somebody's hurting or thinking, and they go, what does that mean? And they look it up, and they blow some dust off the old family Bible, and they crack it open, and it might change your life, because I'm thinking Isaiah 55:11, I send out his word, it always produces fruit. So let's honor anybody who has the guts to do that, John 3:16.
Sure.
You know what? Do we have to say it? We'll say it now. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Mm. That's about love. Loving the world and eternal life and believing in God. Oh, it's such a wonderful, kind of makes you go, ah, yes.
And that world is just not the planet Earth. The world is the people in the world. It's you listening, friend. Yeah. God loves you. If that's a new concept, or you've just never entertained the idea that there's a God, a sovereign entity over the world that loves you. Yes, he designed you. He created you. So this is a verse for you listening, friend. God does, in fact, love you. He created you, and he created you with an eternity, and he wants you to spend that with him. And you can find that fulfillment through the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a verse that really you should know. But this next verse is really interesting. So if God does love you, he gave his one and only son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him, believes in what Jesus did on our behalf. We can't earn our way into heaven. We don't get permission to go to heaven because we attended church every week, or we tithe, or we did good things, more good things than bad things. So the scale says, okay, you're in. No, it's because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, our sins can be forgiven. And that's how we achieve eternal life, by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Mark, I got to say thank you, because I was going to plow ahead, because I make assumptions about things, and you are totally aware that there are listeners out there who are hurting right now, who don't know Jesus, and even as I drive away from our studio today, I'm going to be praying for, thank you for that. Yeah. So, God loves you, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, and the next verse is not talking about love. Mm. It's talking about condemnation. Mm. It's like, what? Wait, that just sounds so mean, a condemnation. But you know what, Mark? You can't have eternal life unless there's also the chance at condemnation. Yeah. I don't even like to think about it, but you got to face that. You understand that. So I'm going to go ahead and read, kind of slowly, think about it, pray it through, John 3:17-18. Are you ready? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's a great explanation. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. And this is the scary part. Mm. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already.
Mm.
You're already condemned because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jesus is on a rescue mission.
Mm.
Jesus is on a rescue mission. So suddenly we're not reading about grace. We're reading about judgment. But again, you can't have one without the other.
This one kind of gives you a reality check, too. Yes, there is a heaven, but yes, there is a hell. That's a reality that is being conveyed here.
That happens to be, I'm just kind of blown away here thinking about this whole concept. Because again, preachers and writers and radio people, Mark, you don't take it for granted. I know that. And this was the first chapter of my book, the next verse. I went ahead and started with John 3:16. And John 3:17-18. Mm. So people get the idea that, oh, yeah. And here's maybe the biggest point of all. If you open the scriptures, and it's confusing. It's a big, thick book, and it sometimes can be confusing. Mm. But God is not a God of confusion or chaos.
Right.
He's a God of reason, and it makes sense. So if you're confused by scripture, keep reading.
Yeah.
Read the next verse, and maybe the next verse, and keep reading, because God will clarify it for you. I promise you. So that was one of the driving forces behind my little book, The Next Verse.
And if you're unfamiliar with Jay's many books, you can find out more at his website, and I'm going to spell it out. It's J-A-Y, that's for his first name, J-P-A-Y-L-E-I-T-N-E-R.com. And that stands for J. Payleitner. So jpayleitner.com. Again, L-E-I-T-N-E-R is his.
I'm sorry. It's the old German spelling. E-I, Payleitner.
Yeah,
apologize for that. But you'll find me.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it's okay too. God loves you.
And you can call the station and we can give you the link.
You
just
or,
call us.
Or like you said, Google the next verse. If you Google the next verse or look for it on Amazon, that makes sense. Let's go to the Old Testament.
We'll close out with a quick one. So the Old Testament, was that the Micah, which one?
Joshua 24:15.
Okay,
let's
Joshua.
24:15. We know this is Joshua's farewell. Now Joshua took over from Moses, led the Israelites into the promised land. We know that. He's 110 years old. And he assembles all the tribes in the valley or the prairie of Shechem. Then he reminds this whole crew, maybe thousands of people. I don't know how they heard him. That's not my problem. But he reminds them of their entire history. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the parting of the Red Sea and the time in the desert. And he also reminds them that they messed up sometimes, that they turned their back on God, but God remained faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So you picture the scene. This is Joshua. It's the last chapter in the book of Joshua. And he kind of says, who are you going to follow? So you got to follow. Who are you going to follow? In Joshua 24:15, I have a friend who has this on their welcome mat to their house.
Mm-hmm.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It's such a lovely, warm, lovely, charming verse. It's lyrical. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? We know that one, right? We've seen it in houses on little wooden plaques.
When we walk up to the door, the Shekinah glory just kind of seeps out from the door frame.
Okay, but let's read the next verse. And that's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful because, and that's exactly what Joshua wanted to hear. And they said, the next verse is, the people replied, the people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Joshua knows these characters, though, and so he asked them two more times, really? We're going to serve the Lord? And they say, yes, we will serve the Lord. We promise, we promise, we promise. Well, so Joshua dies happy, and then you flip your Bible in Judges, and by chapter 2, Israel's back doing what they do best, and going back to the idols and worshiping golden idols again. So I guess here's my point. How do you read Joshua 24:15? Is it a statement? It is a statement. As for me, my house will serve the Lord. But really, it's a question. It's a question for all of us to ask ourselves, am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to be? He's faithful to us. But am I going to be faithful to him? Will I choose to serve the Lord? And you flip the pages into Judges, and those rascals are turning their back on God, and it happens over and over again. God remains faithful. So keep reading, guys. Keep reading, and always read the next verse, because it'll blow your mind.
And purchase multiple copies. Get one for your friend, maybe your small group.
Well, yeah,
maybe
small group.
You can do it as a Sunday school
group.
Class.
I know small groups are doing this, and it's very fun. Do it 1 week at a time. It takes you a year to do 40 verses. Yeah, very fun.
It's titled, The Next Verse, What You Never Knew About 60 of Your Favorite Bible Verses. And a way to purchase it, just type it in, the next verse, and you can get it on Amazon or other different ways. And you can stop by and find out maybe 39 other books that you want to purchase from Jay at jpayleitner.com, jpayleitner.com. And if you couldn't write that down, just call the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And be listening in the days ahead. We'll see when we can get Jay to come present here at the Great News Media Center, probably 6 in the evening. He'll also present to our pastors and ministry leaders and maybe be a part of our community prayer gathering. But I encourage you to get multiple copies of this book or his 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad and soon to be released Girl Dad, which he wrote with his daughter. And Jay's available to fill the pulpit, to speak to a large group, a Sunday school class, a senior group, and he'll be speaking here to the general public when we have him at the Great News Media Center. So find out more at jpayleitner.com. jpayleitner.com. Purchase some books and support the ministry work that God has called them to do. In case you missed a portion of today's broadcast or didn't get to hear my interview yesterday with Jay that shared a little more of his faith journey and life story and about the 52 things kids need from a dad, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org, also wluj.org, and listen on the Mark and Friends tab. Maybe you know a friend or a neighbor or somebody that might want to have Jay come down and speak to their large group or to their church or to a senior group. He loves to speak and share, and he's written almost 40 books. You can find out more by listening to the broadcast. Stop by greatnewsradio.org, wluj.org. Click on the Mark and Friends link, and you can hear the interviews, the 2 days of interviews. So thank you, Jay, for being available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, along with yesterday's broadcast. And I hope, a listening friend, you'll purchase some books and be praying up Jay in the days ahead as God uses him. He speaks at seminars, at Iron Sharpens Irons, men's conferences, and looks for opportunities that the Lord presents him. So he's available. So find out more at his website, jaylpaylietenner.com. And you can always call the station. But again, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.